a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. I'm Representative Chris Kahns at District 32. I'm the vice chair and quite a bit more attractive than our chair, but but I was fortunate that he asked me to kick off our meeting today. Welcome to the House and Commerce and Energy meeting, Wednesday, February 23rd. I'd like to greet everybody in the room. Thank you for coming, and also internet listeners that are here with us today. Please turn off all your electronic devices, having checked my own, and make sure you have the correct badges. So we're going to go ahead and get this kicked off today. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Here.
Fargin.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hawley.
Here.
Hubble. Jensen. Jones.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Nordstrom.
Here.
Willitson.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
Solem.
Here.
And Hubble.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. As I'm sure you all spent last night reading the gripping minutes that are a page turner of our last meeting, I will entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Representative Jones moves and seconded by Representative Solem. Any discussion? Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Greenfield. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. We will go ahead and have our pages come up and introduce themselves. They are, have a lot of work going on for them, so we'll give them their moment to shine.
I'm Samuel Kung. I'm living in Sioux Falls, and I'm an exchange student from Switzerland.
My name is Hannah Orling, and I'm from Milbank, South Dakota.
Well, thank you for all the work that you do, and it's neat to see that Switzerland has now become part of South Dakota. I'll be moving there in the spring. All testifiers, please make sure that your handouts go through the pages when they are distributed to us. And all questions, please, will come through the committee chair. I think we'll get things started. We are going to open the hearing on Senate Bill 23. Senate Bill 23 is an act to update certain citations to federal regulations regarding pipeline safety inspection. This is a bill brought by the Public Utilities Commission. We will now hear proponent testimony for Senate Bill 23.
Good morning. My name is Rolaine Wiest, and I'm an attorney with the Public Utilities Commission. The PUC is the agency responsible for inspecting intrastate natural gas pipelines and certain propane pipelines in South Dakota. The PUC enforces the federal safety standards. So in order to enforce the most recent standards, we need to continually update our references in our state statutes for those federal laws and regulations. So in this bill, the only thing changes we are making is we are dating the dates from 2010 to 2011. And with that, we would ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more proponent testimony to Senate Bill 23? Any more proponent? Well, seeing none, we will now hear opponent testimony to Senate Bill 23. Opponent testimony to Senate Bill 23? Seeing none. At this time, I will open it up for committee questions. Wow, that's great. Okay. The chair now closes the public hearing on Senate Bill 23 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move do pass.
Second.
It has been moved by Representative Wilson and seconded in tandem by Representative Greenfield and Solem on House or Senate Bill 23. Discussion? Hearing none, no further discussion. Question at hand is do pass for Senate Bill 23. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble. Jensen,
aye.
Jones, Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Having received a majority, Senate Bill 23, having received a majority, the vote for the members present passes.
Second.
It has been moved by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Solem, to move to consent. Any comments? That's great. Those in favor of signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Senate Bill 23 will be moved to the consent calendar. Do I get along on that one? We will go ahead and assign Senate Bill 23 to the floor. Representative Dielstra.
Yes.
Thank you. And Caucus Representative Jones. Thank you. All right. Well, we will go ahead and move on forward to Senate Bill 24. Please have all questions come through the chair. We will now take proponent testimony to Senate Bill 24.
Good morning, Madam Chair, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. My name is Gary Hansen. I am a commissioner with the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. I'm here to present Senate Bill 24. Senate Bill 24 deals with filing fees for gas and electric utility rate cases. When a rate-regulated, investor-owned gas or electric utility files for a general rate increase, it's required to pay a filing fee. The filing fee is used to pay for the Public Utility Commission's expenses during the process of the rate case. The current fee is $100,000 for a general rate case or $125,000 for a general rate case, and that is coupled with an integrated resource plan. The fee is a cap. It sets a maximum amount that the utility must pay for the expenses incurred by the state or the PUC. The utility is charged only for the actual expenses incurred by the PUC in relationship to the cap. The proposed changes increase the filing fee to $250,000 for a general rate case, and the language regarding an integrated resource plan is deleted. So there will be one fee regardless of whether an integrated resource plan is filed. Again, only the actual expenses are assessed, so if the cap on the filing fee is raised to $250,000 and the expenses that are incurred are somewhat less than $250,000, perhaps $100,000, they would receive the $150,000 difference back to them. When the filing fee does not cover the total expenses, then a refund is made. The last time the filing fee was increased was in 1994, and since that time, rate cases have become increasingly complicated, resulting in higher expenses. The most recent rate case resulted in a cost of over $287,000 to the PUC, which exceeded the filing fee by $162,000. The PUC has found that it's more cost-effective to hire individuals and expert witnesses to work with us in particular cases rather than having full-time FTEs to do that particular work. Madam Chair, I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. We are now taking proponent testimony to Senate Bill 24. Any proponent testimony? Seeing none, we will now hear opponent testimony to Senate Bill 24. Opponent testimony. Seeing none, at this time I will open it up to committee discussion or questions. The chair will now close the public hearing on Senate Bill 24 and it opens it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Nofstrup.
Move do pass.
It has been moved by Representative Nofstrup and seconded by Representative Greenfield. Senate Bill 24 do pass. Representative Nofstrup, any comments? No comments. Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 24. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones. Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Having received a majority of the vote of the members present, Senate Bill 24 passes. Representative Dielstra. Motion being made by Representative Dielstra to second by Representative Jones. Oh, I'm sorry. Kirchman. Any comments, Representative? Those in favor of moving consent on Senate Bill 24 will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay. There's a fee involved.
Oh. Thank you, Representative Solem. That will not be put on the consent calendar. Senate Bill 24 passes. We will assign this to the floor, Representative Nostrup, if you would, and Caucus Representative Bargin.
Yep.
Thank you both. What do you want to? Thank you for your patience. We will now open the hearing on Senate Bill 25. Senate Bill 25, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the use of funds in the telephone solicitation account. We will now hear proponent testimony to Senate Bill 25.
Good morning again. Rolaine Wiest with the PUC. With Senate Bill 25, the commission is seeking to use the ability to use the money in the telephone solicitation account for its entire telecommunications chapter instead of just to administer our Do Not Call program. This account is funded by fees and fines related to our Do Not Call program. And, of course, the Do Not Call program is a program that restricts the calling of residences for the purposes of soliciting sales of consumer goods or services. Nationwide and in South Dakota, this has been a very popular program. Currently, there are over 565,000 South Dakota phone numbers on the list. Last year, we handled over 450 complaints or inquiries regarding Do Not Call. Our current fund balance is around 268,000. And in the last 4 years, we have received amounts ranging from $44,000 to $66,000 in revenue. We believe that allowing the funds to be used for other telecommunications issues and programs would be a good use of this fund. For example, if the bill passes, we would then be able to use the funds to enforce our slamming and cramming laws and to publicize our laws and for outreach regarding Lifeline and LinkUp programs. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions and ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. We are now entertaining proponent testimony for Senate Bill 25. Seeing none, we will now hear opponent testimony on Senate Bill 25. Opponent testimony, Senate Bill 25. Thank you. I will now offer the opportunity for committee questions. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is for the sponsor. We need to have some questions, and life can't be this simple. I am not knowledgeable in what slamming and cramming laws are. I am not familiar with outreach regarding Lifeline and LinkUp programs. Would you explain those to me?
Certainly, Madam Chair. Slamming and cramming laws are the laws that prohibit a telecommunications company from changing your local or your long-distance provider without your permission. For example, in our law, there currently is a $1,000 fine that can be levied against the company that goes directly to consumer if you violate that. Cramming is similar in that it's actually a bill for some sort of other service than a telephone service that is put on your bill, and that's considered cramming, or for a telephone service that you did not actually request. And again, that $1,000 fine would apply in both of those cases. Our Lifeline and LinkUp programs involves helping low-income consumers to pay their telephone bills. For example, for Lifeline, a consumer would be eligible to receive $8.25 off their local telephone bill. And also there is an up to a $30 discount for the initial installation of your telephone service. And for on tribal lands, those amounts can be even higher than that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Miller.
Does this involve any fees or any fee increases or any financial changing of money?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
No, it does not.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions on Senate Bill 25 while we have her up here? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just thought it was necessary that we point out for the Internet listeners that we have all three of the PUC commissioners here in the room along with their best attorney, and I just was wondering, who's running the PUC?
That's a good point. I'm sure they're in capable hands down there. Any more further questions? The chair, hearing none, the chair now closes public hearing portion on Senate Bill 25 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hawley.
I move do pass.
Second. It has been moved by Representative Hawley and seconded by Representative Miller. Do pass. Representative Hawley, any comments?
No, not at all.
Seeing no further discussion, the question is at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 25. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubbell.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nerstrup.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Having received a majority, Senate Bill 25 of the vote members present passes. It has been moved by Representative Greenfield and seconded by Representative Miller to move Senate Bill 25 to consent. Representative Greenfield, any comments? No comments. Those in favor of moving Senate Bill 25 to consent will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Senate Bill 25 will be moved to the consent calendar. Well, that was very...
Getting by too easy.
Yes, thank you very much. And now that all the power has gone to my head, I will be returning the gavel to the chairman.
Thank you, Representative Consett. Nice job. Moving on, we have one more bill for the Public Utilities Commission. That is Senate Bill 26, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the implementation of a proposed rate or practice by a gas or electric public utility. With that, we will hear proponent testimony on Senate Bill 26. A different commissioner. Welcome.
Both in green, though. It's Green Day at the PUC.
Oh, okay.
Just like it's PUC Day here at the Senate Conference.
Yeah, certainly. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, and good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Steve Kolbeck, and I'm one of the three Public Utilities Commissioners. My task here today is to explain Senate Bill 26 to you. Senate Bill 26 is a bill designed to cut the confusion caused by the implementation of interim rates. In current law, regulated natural gas and electric companies can implement interim rates. Let me explain that. The time frame for completing an entire rate case can take up to 1 year. Interim rates currently can be put into place at the six-month mark. Interim rates are designed to be a financial relief for a company that feels they are in immediate need during a rate case. No approval is needed from the PUC to propose interim rates into effect. You can put the proposed interim rates into effect with no approval. The problem that has arisen with this statute is confusion. Confusion as to whether the PUC has granted a rate increase, confusion as to whether a consumer still has a voice after the interim rates are put into place, which they do. It is just the perception that the commission has voted and the case is complete. Currently, if a company decides to implement interim rates that are lower than the proposed rates, the PUC needs to approve that. The proposed rates that they have put into, the proposed rates do not need to be approved by the commission if they are the original request, only lower than proposed rates. In other words, the commission needs to say, yes, you can put in lower rates in the interim until your rate case is decided. Or they can say, no, you cannot put in lower rates, which in effect puts in the higher rates or the higher proposed rate. As you can tell, it gets confusing for the consumer to understand that a yes vote in a rate case resulted in a lower rate being implemented. In fact, part of this confusion and the rate case that it involved was voted one of the top five stories of the year in the area in which it happened. So that brings us to Senate Bill 26. This bill, as you can see in line 5, adds the language, or a rate lower than proposed, to the original language. Also, it adds in lines 11 through 15 language as to which rate design the company can use. The rate design refers to how much different classes of customers will be charged. This is meant to be a consumer protection, so a lower interim rate cannot be allocated to all commercial buildings or just residential consumers, for example. It must be allocated to the current customer classes or the new customer classes that they've proposed. And finally, it is the opinion of all three of the commissioners of the PUC that this will allow for proper consumer protection while eliminating consumer confusion. Thank you for your time here today, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I would respectfully request your support on Senate Bill 26 at this time. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents for Senate Bill 26? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Brett Kennecke. I'm a lawyer from Pierre and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Electric Utility Companies. When I say electric utility companies, I mean the rate-regulated utilities that you've heard referenced several times this morning. Investor-owned utilities is another name that sometimes is used to refer to our particular members. We are in support of Senate Bill 26 for the reasons that Commissioner Colbeck espoused. A rate case is a tremendous undertaking and requires you to file a substantial amount of paperwork and pre-filed testimony in advance, having to do with the very the complete boundaries of the financial picture of a utility in order to justify a rate increase to the Public Utilities Commission under law. In going through that process, then the commissioners and their staff and the experts they hire go through that to a level that's it's commensurate with an IRS audit. They go through everything, as you can imagine they should, with a fine-toothed comb, and I appreciate the work they put into it. You begin to find out things about their views on your rate case in that process, and you want to be able to respond to those with the maximum amount of flexibility to do the right thing. If you read down in Senate Bill 26, you'll see existing language that requires you, if you implement rates before your rate case is determined, if you do the interim rates, you have to keep track of exactly who paid how much and be prepared to refund that back to customers should the commissioners say that you have to do such a thing. So there's a hammer in there that you can imagine the work for a utility with 60,000 customers or more, perhaps, to go back and respond to that if it's directed. And so then the flexibility that you find in Senate Bill 26, the reason for that is so that you can respond to what you're finding out about your case and the give and take between the staff of the commission and their expert witnesses to make sure that you're doing the right thing for yourself, and the commission has an adequate ability to tell you what they think and feel about your case as well. So we're supportive of Senate Bill 26. We'd ask you to go ahead and pass it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kennecke. Any other proponents on Senate Bill 26? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 26? Any opponents? Seeing none, at this time I'd open it up for committee questions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Condit.
I have a question for the sponsor.
Yes.
Um, what happened last year that was going on with the Black Hills Power situation, sure. If this bill were to go into effect, would that have aided the PUC? You did an excellent job dispersing information and having town hall meetings. Would this have assisted?
Mr. Chair.
Please.
I believe it would have. What happened at the six-month mark, obviously the rate that they were asking for was high. There was an immediate public outcry. We tried to do the meetings as you had suggested, and then what happened is at the six-month mark, they wanted to implement a lower rate. Well, if they would have just implemented the full 26.6%, that would have flown through, and they wouldn't have had to do anything, but they decided to bring in a lower rate. So then we had to go in, and we had to say, yes, you can do that. What that did was aid confusion in the Rapid City area, in my opinion, that we had decided the case, and we had given them the rate increase that they had asked for, and they thought it was done. Some people had stopped participating at that point. Some people had felt that their voice wasn't heard, and some people felt that we had not done our due diligence. So this would happen. This would help, I believe.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any other questions? Seeing none at this time, I'll close the public hearing portion on Senate Bill 26 and open it up for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Konzit.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass on Senate Bill 26.
The motion do pass by Representative Konzit, seconded by Representative Miller. Comments, Representative Konzit?
None.
Chair has one comment while we were talking about the West River case. In some ways, I thank you for your diligence working through that case, because I use that case in my classroom, and we spend a considerable amount of time talking about how the regulatory agencies, i.e. here the PUC, interacts with the utility companies. So, there's a lot of paper that has been generated over the past couple of years regarding that case, and we have particular fun within the classroom arguing both sides of that story. So, it's good that you came up with the outcome that you did. But I certainly use that as part of our educational experience. So with that, the motion at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 26. All in favor will say aye. All opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones. Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Konzit.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Senate Bill 26, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes. Representative Jensen. The motion to move Senate Bill 26 to our consent calendar by Representative Jensen, seconded by Representative Fargin. Any comments? Seeing no comments, those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 26 is now on our consent calendar. Thank you, Commissioners. It was a very productive PUC day in the House Commerce and Energy. With that, Representative Konzit, would you take Senate Bill 26 to the floor, should there be any questions? And Representative Kirschman, would you address that in caucus? Thank you, sir. Okay, the last item of business for our committee today is the hearing on Senate Bill 94, which is an act to repeal and revise certain provisions related to building energy codes. We will now hear proponent testimony for Senate Bill 94. Good morning, Representative.
I feel like I need to grow up here. High table. My name is Scott Munsman, Representative District 7. Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you and members of the committee. Senate Bill 94 really is the result of a work group discussion that occurred at the request of Governor Rounds because of the ARRA funding required it. And what this work group did was that identified existing laws that really are outdated, that really need to be eliminated and updated to match the targeted energy codes. It did a couple of different things, or what it does is a couple of different things. It eliminates obsolete energy codes that have been on the books since 1979, and it also updates the version of a voluntary residential energy code from a 2006 version to a 2009 version. And keep in mind that this bill alone does not fulfill all the requirements, but it really is a step in the right direction towards doing that. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll just stand by if you have any other questions. There's more knowledgeable people than me on this subject in the room.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponents to Senate Bill 94?
Morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the committee, Mike Mueller from the Bureau of Administration. Governor Rounds established by executive order an Energy Codes work group to recommend actions to satisfy a requirement that was tied to nearly $24 million in energy-related stimulus funding the state had received. The requirement was that the state meet certain building energy codes by the year 2017. The work group was comprised of various stakeholders in the residential and commercial construction building industries and state and local government agencies. The Bureau of Administration provided staff support to the work group, which is what brings me here this morning. The long-range goals the work group discussed were to implement the 2009 version of the International Energy Conservation Code, or IECC, for residential construction in the state, and for commercial construction, the 2007 version of what's known as ASHRAE 90.1. And then as well, a plan to achieve and measure ongoing compliance with those two energy standards. In the course of its work, the work group identified the issues in existing law that are before you in Senate Bill 94. The first is that there are existing laws that require the use of a 30-year-old energy code for commercial buildings that have since been superseded by adoption of more current building codes for commercial buildings. So Sections 1 through 4 repeal those laws passed in 1979 that adopted the Model Code for Thermal and Lighting Efficiency in Building Construction that was originally written in 1977 and then updated in 1978. Much newer state laws have established that the 2009 version of the International Building Code, or IBC, is the standard for commercial buildings in South Dakota. The IBC includes using the IECC, or the ASHRAE 90.1 standard, as part of its requirements. So those are already included in the newer IBC requirement for commercial buildings in South Dakota. So the change in Sections 1 through 4 will eliminate those obsolete and possibly conflicting laws regarding commercial building codes in South Dakota. Existing state law for residential construction currently sets the 2006 version of the IECC as a voluntary standard for residential construction in South Dakota. Section 5 updates the version of the IECC for that voluntary standard to the 2009 version, which would then match the version in the targeted long-term goal established by the federal government. Current law also requires that the energy efficiency elements of a residential building be disclosed to the buyer and then compared to that voluntary IECC standard. So Section 6, again, updates the version of the IECC referenced in law to the 2009 version. So those changes will continue our progress toward the long-term energy code goals as recommended by the work group, and we urge your support of Senate Bill 94. I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other proponents? Any other? Oh, there are.
Moore,
there
are. Proponent. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Deb Mortensen, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the Associated General Contractors of South Dakota. That includes the commercial builders in the building chapter as well. Several of the members from the building chapter were involved in the work group, and the end result of that work group was this legislation. We agree it's a step in the right direction, and we encourage your passage of this bill. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 94? Any opponents? Seeing none, at this time I will open it up for committee questions. Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got a question for Mr. Mueller. I was under the impression that a city or a municipality could have more stringent codes than what the, you know, these codes are that we're dealing with today as far as the state code, and that that more stringent code would override the state code for that particular locality. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. Law does allow municipalities and local governments to adopt their own building codes. It sets a floor of a certain version, but then allows the city or municipality or county to then exclude parts based on what they want to do. So I guess that's the long answer to saying, yes, you are correct.
Any other questions? Sure. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for Mr. Mueller. Why do we feel compelled to meet an international code? I mean, aren't our state or federal laws sufficient the way they are?
Mr. Mueller?
I guess I'm not sure how to respond to that question other than the group that puts together the, for example, the International Building Code or the IECC, the International Energy Conservation Code, is a professional organization of those in the building industry who write those codes. And I should explain that for the IBC, which is the current standard in South Dakota, it is far more than just an energy code. It is a life safety building code as well. I guess it has just been the policy, as existing in state law, that that be the standard for buildings in South Dakota.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please, follow up.
Since when did we start adopting international law or codes in that respect?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the history of that. I don't know when we first began adopting those international building codes.
Thank you.
Representative Hubble.
For Deb Mortensen, please.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Hi, Deb. Thanks for being here. I'm wondering, you're representing the commercial builders. Is there going to be a significant cost increase going from like R19 to R20, and everybody's on board with this? Because being in the remodeling industry, I don't hear a whole lot of people in favor of increasing codes. I'm wondering where you're getting your information that these builders are in favor of this.
Mr. Chairman,
please.
If I may. Representative Hubble, you are absolutely right in that instigating higher factors and higher standards does have an initial impact on the industry. You know, it will cause your bids to be a little bit higher, too. But that evens out when you take the long view and look at some of the energy efficiencies that are brought about by increasing R factors and things like that, too. And that is the long-term goal for a lot of the commercial contractors out there, is to look to the future and to build these structures so that they are a lot more energy efficient, and that's where they see the savings, both the owners of the project and the people who are constructing them. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, if I might respond to Representative
Hubble's
question.
Mr. Mueller, please come up to the – if you have something to add, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to point out the difference that you're referencing in that disclosure form, that the 2000 – or the IECC is a voluntary standard in South Dakota. So builders of residential homes would not be required to meet that higher R factor in the insulation. But what they must do is then tell the buyer that this is what is in your home and how it compares to that voluntary standard. So it is not required. It is a voluntary standard for residential, correct?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any other questions? Any other questions? Seeing none, the chair now closes the public hearing portion on Senate Bill 94. And I would open it up for committee comments or action. Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move do pass on Senate Bill 94.
The motion do pass on Senate Bill 94 by Representative Willardson, seconded by Representative Kirschman. Comments, Representative?
I think they did a good job describing, you know, what we're going to accomplish here, and I think we should move it on.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 94. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
No.
Holly.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
No.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett?
Aye.
Sullum?
Aye.
11 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Bill 94, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes. And since I see as the House sponsors Munsterman and Hawley, I'm sure you gentlemen will inform your respective caucuses. Thank you very much. Well, that concludes the business for today's committee meeting. And at this time, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. The motion to adjourn by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Fargin. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.